Good. How are you this morning, Tony?
Well, it's good to talk to you, Mr. Cherry. Are you tired of people asking you when is the budget going to get done?
Yeah, I am, as a matter of fact.
Well, you know what strikes me about this, and I guess I'm just a naive soul, but I'm wondering why the Senate decided to adjourn yesterday until September 7th when the budget's not done.
Well, you know, you'll have to talk to the Senate leadership about, you know, their decision there. You know, I should say that, you know, at least the initial reaction from the Senate leadership has been fairly positive, or at least it's signaled a willingness to work through what little issues might remain on the budget. So that's good news. Maybe that's why they chose to adjourn to get some, you know, maybe use the time to get some additional information. But it's pretty clear that I think the governor has put forward a pretty respectable budget proposal that cuts about $300 million out of the budget and transfers community college funding into the school aid fund, and then on top of that, you know, found some internal sources of revenue that avoids a general tax increase. And Senator Bishop, the majority leader, has indicated that he saw that as a positive thing. So, you know, I have some level of optimism. That's more than I could say a month ago.
Is the community college funding going to be taken from them and given to the general schools? How does that work?
Well, what happens is we have a school, an education school aid fund that provides money for education. It's set aside. The revenue is earmarked. And that's one part of our revenue stream that's been growing. And we've traditionally funded community colleges and universities and four-year institutions out of the general fund. So we're moving the community college funding into the school aid fund, where there has been revenue growth. And, you know, quite frankly, it does reflect, I think, the modern reality. You know, at one point in time, 20 years ago, that high school diploma was like the end point, and anything beyond that was discretionary. Today, that's not the case. People have to have at least 2 years of post-secondary education. So it strikes me that this budget move reflects the education reality that's out there, and that we need to understand now, today, we can't approach this thing as having three separate silos, you know, four-year institutions, community college, and K-12. It's now a continual process, and I think this moves the budget in that direction.
So does that mean community colleges are going to lose money?
No, okay. It does not. In fact, they'll be funded, you know, that's one institution that we have tried desperately to protect because they have been so good at not only educating students but doing that in a way that stimulates economic development. We've struggled to protect it, and this move, I think, guarantees that it will continue to be protected.
So is this fancy accounting? What does this move do?
Well, it's a fundamental change. You know, up until now, that school aid fund was dedicated solely to K through 12. And because of the revenue growth that's occurred in that fund, as opposed to our general fund, we now have the room to move community college funding into that area. So really, it is an accounting change, but it reflects the reality both in terms of what's happening with our revenue and what's happening with educational policy, is to understand that students today have to have at least 2 years past high school to be successful. So what we're doing is using our school aid fund to fund that 14 years of education that's necessary.
Okay. Let's talk about the roads. From what I understand, we need a lot of money by October 1 to match federal funding that's available.
Yeah, this is an issue that I truly believe the legislature's missed the mark on some time ago. That time is running out for exactly that reason. I think we need something like $800 million to fully match the federal money that might be available to Michigan. And, you know, if we had acted some time ago in changing the funding mechanism, we'd be in a position today to deal with that. You know, in the end, you know, we fund our transportation network through through a gas tax. We had proposed that there be certain types of private-public partnerships that might raise some money in this process. That hasn't been dealt with. We've recommended that the way to levy the gas tax be changed. That hasn't been dealt with. So the can has been kept getting kicked down the road. So now we are, now here we are on the threshold of election with a necessity now. I mean, the only real option now is to in fact change the taxation. So it's going to be mired in, I think, some severe political debate over the next 30 days. And if there is no action, then Michigan is going to lose out significant highway dollars.
Well, now I finally know who I can attribute that term to, because, and we're talking with Lieutenant Governor John Cherry on the Tony Connolly Morning Show on 1320 WILS. Mr. Cherry, I constantly use that term, kicking the can down the road. And I probably owe you lots of rights fees to that. But it seems like this is another issue, and it looks like if this isn't handled pretty soon, not only is the state going to miss out on those matching funds, but there's a lot of projects that are due to start early next year, and they'll sit on the side of the road for a while.
Yeah, and we need to understand that we're behind in this process, you know, and just to match this money doesn't even really catch us up, but it's something that we have to do if we're going to stand any chance of maintaining the highway infrastructure in the state. It's just an absolute necessity. This is a problem, you know, quite frankly, that's plaguing the nation through all of our states, where, you know, we are not keeping up with the infrastructure investments that were made over the past 70, 80 years. You know, all of these projects are running out of their useful life, and you have to step up and reinvest to keep the infrastructure functioning, and there seems to be a reluctance to do that. In my mind, this is the one kind of governmental expenditure that makes a great deal of sense. One is it helps build an infrastructure that allows people to do business in the state, and in doing so, you create jobs on top of that. So if we want to stimulate the economy, this is the way to do it.
Where are we with the retirement package for state employees and the 3% raise that they're expecting to get?
Well, the raise issue, you know, has a constitutional limitation. It has to be rejected so many days after the beginning of the fiscal year. So, I mean, that time has passed. So my guess is that goes into effect. The budget assumes a change in the retirement system. So if the legislature is going to completely deal with the budget, they're going to have to alter the retirement system before October 1st, or else find another way to deal with the budget savings that are being assumed in this budget. And so, you know, I'm assuming that issue gets resolved in the next 30 days, one way or the other.
And then I have one final question for you. From what I understand, many of the budget issues have resolution from the Senate's end, from the House of Representatives' end, and they just can't seem to find common ground. And I know one of your jobs is to help those folks and negotiate common ground to get this done, and it looks like they've been making your job a huge challenge. What is the delay? Everybody's got a give and take to get this done, but feet are dragging.
Well, it is, and I think there's probably a multiplicity of reasons for that. Number one, we've never faced the kind of budget problems today in our past. I mean, we probably have not had as difficult circumstances since the Great Depression. And state government is a different animal today than what it was back in the 1930s. So this is probably the most significant budget crisis this state has seen. That's a pretty big pill for people to swallow, number one. Number two, we have term limits. So we have a number of legislators who don't have a great deal of experience. They haven't built the relationships and the level of trust you need to go in and make the kind of fundamental changes that have to occur if we're going to put the state on a stable stable foundation. So you've got these factors that have compiled, and on top of it, you add on an election year when people don't want to make controversial decisions, it makes for a very difficult circumstance. Now, what the governor's proposal does is put out a reasonable proposal that represents that middle ground, that area in which common, reasonable people can come together and resolve this budget. So this is going to be a real test for the legislature in the next 30 days. And obviously, my guess is if they don't succeed, then people probably react to that in the polls come November.
Mr. Cherry, we always appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tony.